I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on any item, either in the chamber or via Teams, to use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed only on the chat system. I'd remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Well, members, you're all very welcome today. I have a few comments I want to make just at the opening of the meeting. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Warren Poynton-Kilcoo and making it through to the Senior Down Championship final after what has been a pulsating championship with penalty shootouts and all sorts of high drama. And also to Restrever and Saville making it to the intermediate final, and to Connacht and Drumara in a junior final. And also to wish Cleavey and Cross McLean all the best this weekend in the Armagh Championship semi-finals. I'd also like to make special mention of our Special Olympian Bethany Firth on receiving her OBE in recent days. I'd also like to wish Niamh Node and Sophie Lennon, two local girls, one from Bessbrook, the Slade direction, and another from Mayo Bridge, who are excelling in the semi-finals of the Junior Eurovision, Ireland Junior Eurovision, and we would wish them well in the rest of the competition. Also congratulate our Glass Skiffy Club on the launch of their new boat, a momentous day for them in recent days. And also to St. Louis Grammar School in Kilkeel, who had great centenary celebrations at the weekend, and I wish them well for the rest of the year in celebrating 100 years of education in our district. The other element I'd like to raise is the fact that I had the privilege of representing the council in Cavan on Thursday, where the Shared Island Unit Local Authority Local Development Fund awards were made, and I'm delighted to say that the council picked up as many, if not more, than any other council in the area in relation to the funding to provide seed funding and initial funding for numerous projects in the south of the border, and I'm very happy with the work that's been done there. I'd like to congratulate the directors and officers for the work that was done in securing so many of those funding streams. And lastly, since we last met, we've had our Chairperson Civic Awards, very successful night in the Burndale Hotel, and I think you'll all agree it was a very humbling occasion where each and every person and organisation that was honoured on that night certainly took me off my feet, and we're truly blessed to have so many dedicated people across our district who go beyond the call of duty to make our district a better place to live in and to look after those who need our help. And I'd like to commend the councillors for the nominations they put forward. The quality of the people who received awards that night was astounding. And I certainly thought it was a great night, and I thank you for the support in doing that, and congratulate all the winners. And look forward to new people been coming forward next year and been recognised, because they've only scraped the surface of those people within civic society who give so much to make our district a better place. So, have we any apologies? Item one.
Yeah, Councillor Byrne.
Councillor Byrne.
Councillors Casey and Hart.
Councillors Casey and Hart.
And Michael Lipsitz, Director.
Any more? Any declarations of interest? None? Okay. Item number three is the action sheet arising from council meeting held on the 5th of September 2022. I'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Closed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay. Item number 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of September 2022. I go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Okay, proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Surgeoner. The Surgeoner. Have we any matters arising? Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My question relates to page 3 on the minutes of the 5th of September. Given the comments that were made during September's meeting of full council in respect of the Eats and Beats Festival in Newcastle, can I ask Marie, through you, Chair, as Chief Executive, if evidence has been submitted to the council to substantiate the allegations made of the DUP that evening? And if so, has an investigation been launched? And at what stage in the process are we at, Chair?
Okay, Chair. Chair, I've just met with the DUP councillors this afternoon, and it's my intention to bring forward a report to this month's SPNR committee. There has been no formal investigation launched as yet, but it will be considered at SPNR in October.
Okay, thank you for that, Marie. I suppose, just Chair, in terms of comment about Marie's answer there, I suppose all who contributed to what was a very successful weekend in the town are keen for the matter to be concluded, as there's a negative cloud that's currently hanging over the festival, so that could be put to bed, because at present we really have attempts to label the festival as sectarian. So I look forward to the outwork of that report, Marie. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Good order, folks. Okay. Any other matters arising? No. Item number 5 is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 12th of September. Let's read it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Can I have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Sharvin proposed. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Okay. Item number... Sorry, Councillor Hanlon, you weren't in attendance. Can somebody else who was in attendance to second it, please? Through the chat, please.
No second it, sure.
Okay. Okay, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll bring in... Councillor Lee Surgeoner has seconded through the chat. Are you having trouble using the chat, Councillor Redding? Right. Councillor Redding, I'll bring you in until we get the technical issues resolved. Go ahead.
You need to put your mic on. Yeah. Turn on your on item 5 about the special meeting. The DUP group still has very serious concerns regarding the amount of expenditure on the...
Sorry, Councillor Reddy, that's item number five. We're on at the moment, minutes of the special council meeting.
Oh, is that the Queen one?
Yes.
Oh, I'm okay. That was good. Thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other matters you're raising from item number five? Okay. Move on to item number six, with the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration Tourism Committee meeting held on the 12th of September 2022. I'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9.
Super poster.
Okay. Just before we go any further in relation to accuracy, there's an amendment to the minute required as the incorrect recommendation have been read out in the recording, and I would ask Conor Mullen to read that into the record, please.
Thanks, Chair. There's an amendment to the ERT minute 151/2022 update re AONB Geo Park minute required. As it was recorded incorrectly in the minute and also on the recording, the minute should read, on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Hart, it was agreed, 1, to approve the service level agreement, SLA Appendix 1, with Blueville Glamping for 2022-23 at a maximum cost as outlined in the officer's report. 2, amend the SLA with Orney for 2023-2023. SLA will be at a maximum cost as outlined in the officer's report for the following projects. SLA with Orney for 3 projects below. Develop costed proposals for visitor management at Minorstown Beach. Detailed visitor management survey and costed proposals for the Ring of Gullion. Camlagh Mountain Access Feasibility Study. SLA with Orney for 2022-2023 for a maximum cost of $8,500 for the delivery against the Blue project, subject to funding being secured. And develop costed programme of upgrade, repair and maintenance for the Lochiel Way. So could I ask for a proposer and a seconder for that amendment? Thanks.
Proposed, Chair.
Folks, have you a proposal then for Councillor Lee Surgeoner to propose those minutes with the amendment? I need a seconder. Can you please use the chat, folks, because it's exceptionally difficult to work between the two sites here. Councillor Larkin has seconded. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Devlin, you have a question.
Yep, thank you, Chair. A question for Conor, just regarding Hallowtides and Halloween in Newcastle this year. I know we would like for expressions of interest, Conor, for groups to come forward. I'm conscious that maybe that's time-bound. I'm just wondering at what point we'll be able to announce exactly what's happening in Newcastle, because there is significant interest in terms of what's going to be happening for Halloween.
Thanks, Chair. We have secured expressions of interest from a group within Newcastle and in the other major centres, and these will be communicated to them tomorrow following ratification of the minutes tonight, and subject to call in next Monday, we will be moving ahead with them awarding them SLAs.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Conor.
Any other matters arising from item number 6? Okay. And that was duly proposed by Councillor Lee Surgeoner and seconded by Councillor Larkin. Okay. Item number 7 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 15th of September 2022. I'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Page 7. Okay. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? Item number 7. Councillor Gallagher, you weren't at that meeting, so Councillor Hanlon, you were there. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Okay. Any matters arising? No? Okay. Item number 8 is the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 20th September 2022. I'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Page 5. Can a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Owen. Okay. Any matters arising? Councillor McKee. Item number 8, yeah.
Yeah. Just in relation to the height restriction bars on Kilkeel House Recycling. Just there's a few issues there that keep springing up there, you know, with people who are attending it, find that these height restriction bars are creating a problem. Simple one, as a user goes with a small tractor and a small trailer, and he's told, oh, you can't come in here with commercial waste. Now, that may even be before the height restriction bar, but who decides what is commercial waste and what is not? This was home domestic waste. He had no tow bar in his car, and he takes his wee tractor and a small trailer and was turned away because he couldn't use it. And the other thing is, what I read in there, that it appears to be it's okay if any particular commercial user pays for to tip waste in that site. So it tells me that irrespective of height bars, no height bars, as long as you pay, as long as you notify 24 hours beforehand, you're allowed to go in and tip. Now, that doesn't make a lot of good sense. If you begin to balance out of what it costs this council on fly tipping in comparison to tipping in a proper site, has there been any work done on that to see is that the case? One of the other things I found was if you go to that site and you can't get in, for example, or even somebody tells you can't come in, what signage is there or who tells them? You must definitely have to wait till somebody tells you where can you go and tip commercial waste. There's no signage on that site to direct those people to anywhere. So I don't know, do they take it home? Where do they take it to? I wouldn't know where to go with commercial waste if it wasn't looking into that site. So I think there certainly has to be room for some sort of signage or directing the people to that. So I think looking at the Weybridge point of view, yes, that's probably the better way to go. But again, who decides who is supposed to sit on that Weybridge and who isn't? Who determines what is commercial waste and what is domestic waste? It can be a combination of both things on any vehicle.
Okay.
So I just ask the council takes a check at that. So in one sense, I can't totally agree with option C and moving forward there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Andrew, do you want to come back on that?
Thank you, Chair. I mean, first of all, it's the site attendants who would use their own knowledge and experience to determine the origin of the waste, whether it was commercial or household. I mean, they are household waste recycling centres. Council has a duty to provide such centres. It doesn't have a duty to provide for the disposal of commercial waste. Option 3, as approved by the committee, was to develop the online booking system to allow access by commercial users and people in vehicles over 1.95 metres in height, and that is near its completion. The issue about the weighbridges came from a discussion at the committee, and that was considered as a fairer method, but at this point in time is not one which we can implement without without further evaluation, and that has been started, and that will be brought back to the committee in due course.
Okay. Councillor Hannah, you were looking to come in there as well?
Yes, Chair, thank you. It's on the same item as Councillor McKee. To be quite honest with you, we've had an extremely bad reaction to the height restriction in Kilkeel, and it's continuous, so it is. So, Chair, what I'm going to propose is that an amendment to that option adopted in committee, and I propose that we remove the height restriction for the time being until we see how the booking system would work I don't know. I still have my doubts about the booking system, how successful it was, it would be. So, Chair, it's just unbelievable the reaction we have got. So, Chair, I'm happy to. I want to propose that the removal of the height restriction is done. And as I commented to in the meeting, and Councillor Casey said it didn't really matter. If you go into any car park to let any Jeep in, you have to have 2.1 metres. So you do. That's 1.95. That's 15. Centimetre short and old time 6 inches means a whole lot to a whole lot of people, so it does. So, Chair, to be quite honest, I'm proposing now that we remove the height restriction until the booking system is sorted out. Thanks, Chair.
Chair.
You take minutes. Are you
seconding this?
Yeah, I'll second that, Chairman. I just, as I pointed out at the meeting, we're creating a bureaucratic nightmare when there's absolutely no need to do it. We're going to deter bona fide ratepayers from using that facility, which is unfair. And the staff who work in it, they're experienced people. They can determine what's commercial and what's domestic. Because it comes in the van and it's genuine domestic waste from a genuine ratepayer within Newry Mourne and Down, I think it's very, very unfair and extreme to turn that guy away because he's in a van. So I'm seconding Councillor Hannah's proposal. It's common sense and it's going to save on bureaucracy to for the staff to have to manage all that booking. Is it going to mean another member of staff being allocated to the recycling centre? Or will it mean a member of staff being permanently in the office when they should be out actually checking waste coming in? So, given all the negatives on the proposal of number 3, I'm seconding Councillor Hannah's proposal that we do away with it completely for now until a better alternative's found. Thank you.
Okay. Andrew, you come back in on that then in relation to feasibility of that?
Yeah, Chair, I mean, it's obviously it's feasible. The concern that I have that we're singling out one site for this particular treatment and that potentially is at odds with other sites that have height restrictors.
Would you want to amend your proposal, Councillor Hannah?
All right, it's all sites I'm referring to.
You're referring to all sites.
Chair, I guess you come back in again, and obviously that's until the online booking system is in.
Chair, until the online booking system's in place and it seemed to be working correctly, so it is.
Is that viable? Yeah. Okay. Is there agreement in the chamber? Sorry, Councillor Murphy.
There's just one difficulty with it. Why would people book if their barrier's already gone? You know, how are you going to measure that? How are you going to judge it? You know, nobody's going to be booking.
Chair, clearly the barriers would have to be closed again when the online booking system was introduced.
Councillor Mackett, Councillor Owen, sorry, you were looking to come in.
Yeah, I was just going to say what Councillor Hannah had said in the sense that we have a similar issue. I'm sure that some of the Rowelling councillors would say the same thing. We have a similar issue in Ballinhinch. I know that we've all been contacted by one particular resident who has a very large mobility vehicle as well. And her family has to actually go first thing in the morning. So then they're able to get in with the large mobility vehicle. I've actually had people contacting me saying it's discrimination. Now, that's big claims, and I'm not going to necessarily say that's the case, but what I'm saying is that people have contacted me, so I fully support what Councillor Hannah and Councillor Riley are saying. I trust the council workers at the household recycling centres, you know, to be able to turn around and go, that's commercial, that's not commercial. So I don't really think that there's a need for a barrier full stop, but I do appreciate that there's been, you know, this idea with the online booking system. Personally, I'd like to see the online booking system gone together and fully trust the staff at the household recycling centres to be able to tell the difference, you know, between, because mobility vehicles are getting bigger in some cases. So thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to bring a few other members in and then we refine what the proposal is, because there's a few queries in relation to what actually meant by the proposal. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, sir, just reading that report. I mean, I would be concerned
based on what I've seen over the years in terms of introducing something like an online booking system. Because, I mean, at the very best, people turn up when they're not sure of the hours. And I know we're supposed to be extending the hours of opening, you know, through lunchtime and right on into the evening. But I suspect a lot of the dumping is to do with people turning up and the place closed at 3:30, 4:00, 4:15, most of them, and just being frustrated. And I think the possibility of this online system might be well-intentioned, but it may actually backfire on us in terms of illegal dumping throughout the area. And there's no other way of doing it. I think it'll be much better, as maybe Catherine said there, just trust the operatives in the on the sites to operate this, because the last thing we want is an exacerbation of the current situation where stuff lying around the country everywhere, you know.
Okay, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, but certainly we'll be sticking with the original proposal from the committee. This was rehearsed at committee, and I don't see why we're revisiting it now. It stands the sense that if the barrier was taken away and the online booking was taken away, you're going to end up with a bigger problem than you started with.
Mm-hmm.
So this has all been worked out at the committee. There was proposal made, there was seconded, it was accepted. We're asked to approve it tonight or not to approve it tonight. We'll be voting to approve it.
Okay. So we have one proposal. Councillor Reilly, so you have a question. Is that right?
Chairman, it was Councillor Murphy raised a very important point. If, for example, the Kilkeel Recycling Centre, how's it going to operate in reality? Because the staff will be in the office observing ordinary cars driving in. So if somebody's booked online, those staff would have to walk away down to where the entrance is, remove the barrier to let that in, presumably then shut the barrier again, let the van discharge its waste, let the van out and close that barrier. You know, it's going to be so time consuming, it's going to be so bureaucratic, it just does not make sense. And what is the gain to the council to be doing this whenever it's such a bureaucratic and nonsensical way of doing things? You know, surely the goodness, to take the barrier away and have better policing, better enforcement measures of our staff who are in there. That's the way to do this, not to restrict vehicle going in. You know, you could bring in a load of commercial waste in a vehicle car.
Yeah, well, Councillor Reilly, as Councillor Murray said, to be fair to him, you know, we do trust our committees to dissect this stuff and go through the detail and have the detailed debate. You know, that's and obviously if there's issues arise, this is the forum in which to do them. So I have a proposal here, and Councillor Hannah, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're advocating that we remove the restriction on the barrier until the online booking system is finalised. Yes.
Sure, I'm proposing that the online booking system is fully tested first. I really do have my doubts, sir, but at the same time, I don't think there's any necessary need for height restrictions whatsoever. Councillor McKee highlighted quite a few of the problems. It just doesn't need to be there. So but I'm proposing that that it's removed.
But just to clarify, Councillor Hannah, you need the barriers there to test the system. You know, so what I'm suggesting is...
Well, I'll change my proposal slightly then, so well, that the barrier just be removed and a booking system be for commercial waste only. Anybody's coming in there.
Right.
You have enough
of that one. Yeah. I'll defer to Andrew in relation to clarification on the feasibility of that, because I think that sounds like a bit of a contradiction based on what we're trying to implement. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it does, Chair. I mean, the 1.95 metre height restriction applies to the vehicle and not to the type of waste, so it could be potentially be household waste coming in a larger vehicle. And the idea in the first place of the booking system was to enable householders in those larger vehicles to access the recycling centres to legitimately bring in household waste for disposal and treatment. The commercial waste side of it is a separate issue in my mind, in that Council can agree to accept commercial waste at recycling centres, but also should has to charge for it to ensure it recovers its costs in that regard.
Councillor McMurray, you're looking in. I'll go to Councillor Sharon.
Thank you, Chair. And yeah, I mean, I think we are sort of slightly going over stuff that has been gone over again. I was inclined to support the proposals as they were a measure to try and work through and improve what has been not necessarily a finalised point and maybe a point where something could be arranged. I mean, my obvious in my head, and quite rightly, was pointed out that if a blue badge holder turns up at the household recycling centres, there's no booking system required for that. They would have it opened up straight away, if that makes sense. So there's a slight contradiction for me in the sense of if a private individual who drives a high-sided vehicle, like myself on occasion, that they would have to have a booking system. That booking system may well be instantaneous, and if it is an instantaneous system, that would be great. But I think the main issue is, again, that we have the system that is a halfway house that's trying to open up these barriers, which are causing disruption, and I certainly know that too. Just as well as just one point as well that should be made, again, be conscious of rushing in to something that will cause confusion, not only for may cause confusion for our constituents, because again, on speaking to some of the workers at the centres, some of the abuse that they take is quite awful. So it is, and if this confusion leads to sort of more abuse being landed upon them, I would be sort of concerned. So I think I support in principle the points that Councillor Riley is trying to make, I think we need to have a process of doing this, and the system that we have agreed upon is a incremental step maybe to it. While it may not be throwing open the gate straight away, I think throwing open the gate straight away might lead to enough problems as it is. So I would be happy enough to support as is. Chair, thank you.
Right. So I have a proposal. I need to get... Sorry, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. It seems unclear of how soon the online booking system actually is going to be in place. You know, the DUP are asking us to see how it goes. We don't know how long see how it goes will be. And, you know, at the end of the day, if someone comes in with commercial waste into our household recycling centre, we as a council have to pay out to remove that. You know, and that is additional cost, which I'm sure in item 11 we're going to hear about extra expenditure. You know, that is an extra expenditure to the council. So, Chair, and the other case that they're raising about staff, and Councillor McMurray mentions there about staff who are getting abuse. You know, people that are turning up, no matter what system it will be, and they're being asked to make a judgment if it's commercial waste or household waste at the moment, is making them exposed to even more abuse. Whereas a system policy put in place, either you've booked or you haven't booked. If you haven't booked, you can't gain access. And I'm sure the staff can be empowered with discretion where someone that does turn up in a disability vehicle where they haven't booked online, you know, the staff should have discretion where they're able to do that. If a resident does feel disgruntled, the council has a complaints procedure that they can follow to raise that complaint to the council, and it'll be dealt through with that. So, Chair, I think on behalf of our party, we'll be keeping to what the committee decided, and our members voted for option 3 as well.
Okay, I can sense validity in all the discussions that's taken place in relation to the concerns, because there are concerns I have heard, and I'm sure other members have heard as well. But we're trying to get to a place whereby, as Councillor Sharvin has said, that the council's not falling for the cost of handling commercial waste. I'm going to bring Andrew in here just to give his appraisal of things, and then we'll decide what way we're going to proceed.
Thank you, Chair. If members are minded to leave the proposal as it is, the booking system will be introduced within the next month, and then following the first month of operation, I'm content to bring a report back to the Sustainability and Environment Committee.
Are members content with that approach? No. Well, okay. So can I have clarity then? If we're not content, can I have clarity on the wording of your proposal, Councillor Hannah?
I'm proposing that the height restrictions are removed and a booking system is installed for anybody that wishes to dispose of commercial waste. I'll make it simpler, so well, in our amenity sites and our recycling centres.
Okay. I think we need to do a roll call on this one then. Okay. So on Councillor Hannah's proposal, seconded by Councillor Reilly, we'll do a roll call. Okay, Sarah?
Yep.
Sorry, Chair, just to clarify that what we're voting on again, so that we open up our household recycling centres for commercial waste, is that the bulk of this, and remove the height restriction?
I'd ask Councillor Hannah to clarify again.
Thank you.
Councillor Hannah, can you clarify your proposal again, please, because members obviously are grasping.
I'll repeat what I said, that the height restriction is removed completely, and a booking system is introduced, so it is, and it's already sort of there, so it is, because I bid for it in there before to dump commercial or get rid of commercial waste that's recyclable in our recycling centres. So the height restriction has to go, and the booking system needs to prove itself so it does in that way.
Right, so you have a counter proposal to what's to option three, which is that the height restriction is removed
completely,
and the booking system.
It's there for commercial.
For commercial is implemented.
Yeah.
So can we're going to take a roll. And if this falls in the original proposal as per the minutes, option three carries. Members in agreement that we proceed in this way? Okay. We'll take a roll call then, please, on Councillor Hannah's proposal, seconded by Councillor Reilly.
Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Burgess? For. Councillor Byrne is absent. Councillor Casey's absent. Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin.
Against.
Councillor Enright.
Against.
Councillor Finnegan.
Against.
Councillor Gallagher.
Against.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon.
Against.
Councillor Hannah.
For.
Councillor Hart is absent. Councillor Howell.
Against.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Against.
Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness? Yes. Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor McKee?
For.
Councillor McKevitt?
Against.
Councillor McMurray?
Against.
Councillor Mulgree?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor O'Murray?
Yes.
Councillor Owen?
For.
Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Ruan?
Yes.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Stokes?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Traynor?
Against.
So I have 7-4 and 29 against.
Okay, that falls to the original minute. Option three stands. Okay, any more items? Any more items arising? Matters arising? No. Okay. Move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the audit committee meeting held on the 22nd of September 2022. I'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Can I have a proposer? Councillor Maggott here proposing.
Proposed, yeah.
Can I have a seconder, please, on the chat? Preferably, I would need somebody who was at that meeting.
Councillor Devlin.
Councillor Devlin. You were at that meeting, Councillor Devlin, yeah? Okay. Okay. Any matters arising? No. Okay. Item number 11 are the minutes of the Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 26th of September.
Minute 10.
Sorry.
active and healthy.
Sorry, apologies. Item 10.
Nine one. The audit committee annual report. Just for now.
Apologies. Yes. Sorry. Item 9.1 is the audit committee annual report, which is attached in the minutes. Can I propose her and seconder, please?
Proposer, Chair.
Councillor McAteer and Councillor Surgeoner. Okay, thank you. Apologies. Item number 10 is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 22nd of September. I'll go through the minutes for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Okay, can proposer and seconder? Councillor Lewis proposing, Councillor McAteer seconding. Councillor Devon for comment.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It relates to page number 5 in terms of Donald Park, the reconfiguration. I suppose just to welcome this work, Chair. We know the antisocial behaviour in Donald Park has been long-standing and has been getting worse over the past number of months in particular and years. And it's antisocial behaviour that isn't just in Donald Park but affects residents right across the town and does prove to be a significant risk. I'm really pleased to see these works have progressed. I know that myself and Councillor Clark, and then also another day, Colin McGrath and I visited all the different folds in Newcastle. We presented the proposals to them and they were very well received. So there's really hope that they have the desired effect. But on the back of that comment, Chair, I was hoping to ask a wee question. Though obviously in terms of site, we're waiting for Council's approval, but how soon maybe would that work take place and how long will it take to complete, if that makes sense, Chair?
Okay, I'll bring Brian on that one, Brian.
Yeah, Chair, as Michael Lips, the Director, is actually absent this evening, can and we come back to the councillors with the detail on that, if that's okay.
No bother. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any other matters arising? Item number 10? No? Okay. Item number 11 are the minutes of the Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held the 26th of September. I'll go through them for accuracy. Page 1, page 2. The proposer and seconder. Item number 11. Proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Gallagher. Okay. Councillor Hannah, you want to comment?
Chair.
Chair, this is a closed session item.
So yep.
We would have to go into closed session on that.
Yep.
So
okay.
Have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. Councillor Curran, Councillor Burgess. Okay, whilst in closed session in relation to the SPNR Minute 147-2022 Trade Union Dispute Update on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, and following a recorded vote, the results of which were 31 for and 4 against, it was agreed to approve the local pay offer in full and final settlement of this current dispute. It was also agreed to note the cost implications as set out in the officer's report and further agreed to an efficiency programme as set out in paragraph 2.6 in the officer's report. Okay. Move on now to item number 12, which is the planning section. For accuracy, page 1. Okay, can I propose her and seconder, please?
Proposed.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor McAteer and Councillor O'Hare. Okay, any matters arising? No. Okay, item number 13 is it for noting? It's for noting is a letter from the Department of Communities Council remote hybrid meetings attached for your information. Any comments? Yes, Aoife, go ahead.
Just a quick comment. I just want to, Sinn Féin, like to welcome the extension to the legislation, which will be reviewed in March. We do look forward to going back to physical meetings, but at the minute I think these hybrid meetings allow attendance that is inclusive to those who wouldn't be able to be here. So thanks, Marion.
Okay. Thank you. Any more comments? Poser and seconder, please. Councillor Shortley, Surgeoner.
Thank you, Chair. Just also a quick note to say I, too, welcome the letter from the community for a department for communities, especially for the extension. And yes, per the last paragraph, I personally hope that the powers that be of that assembly can form an executive so the relevant legislation can be passed to ensure that this is a permanent thing. Thank you.
Okay, you're proposing, David, yeah, and seconded by Councillor Murray. Okay. Item number 14 is a motion from EV charging infrastructure from Councillor Enright. This is being referred to the SPNR Committee. Sustainability and Environment Committee. Councillor Enright, could you read out the motion, please, and advise who's seconding?
Andy here is seconding, Chairperson.
That's true.
Notice of motion received from Councillor Enright. Council notes that last year's notice of motion seeking a target of between 80 and 181 EV charging points in Newry, Mourne and Down car parks resulted in management report May 2022 suggesting that such charging points would cost about $12,000 each and as much as $2.7 million in total with no business case. Thus a target of 1% of parking spaces, 80, or one per car park, 181, was unrealistic from a cost point of view. Council notes that new information has emerged to back the suggestion that EV charging companies want to lease car parking spots from council throughout the district and are prepared to share charging revenues with council. Far from costing money, EV infrastructure going forward could be seen as a new form of council revenue. Council resolves to seek long-term rental and revenue-sharing opportunities with EV infrastructure companies to keep Newry, Mourne and Down District Council competitive in tourism, business and to replace the rates being lost by the ongoing closure of filling stations across the district. Within 3 months of this motion, Council will make an open offer of six tranches of 20 parking spots to all EV companies operating on the Irish and Northern Irish grid system as a trial run for a two-year period. Following the two-year trial, the offerings by the different EV charging companies and based on service and value for money for council, be offered long-term contracts with companies offering the best solutions to residents and visitors alike to Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Enright. And that's seconded by Councillor McMurray. Okay, item number 15 is a notice of motion on the Irish Passport Office in Northern Ireland received from Councillor Hannan, and it will be heard tonight. Councillor Hannan, if you could speak and advise who's seconding your motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And the motion is going to be seconded by Councillor McAvoy. This council acknowledges the increased demand for Irish citizens in the north, particularly since the Brexit referendum, and calls for additional services to be put in place to manage the demand. This council reiterates the call made in 2018 for an Irish passport office to be located in the north of Ireland. Council will write to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, expressing concern at the current backlog and delays for Irish passport applications and request a passport office to be established in the north of Ireland to help manage this demand. Just to make some comments on the motion, there is a clear need for an Irish passport office in the north to help meet the rising demand for Irish passport services. I know our offices and elected reps have been inundated over recent months with people seeking help with passport applications due to the backlogs. I personally have been liaising with people who have had to cancel holiday plans, drive down to Dublin and have spent hours on the phone to the passport office with no success. I can't overemphasise how much stress and expense this has caused to many, many people. It makes sense for the Irish government to set up a passport office in the north to ease the burden on the service and to support applicants living here. Thank you.
Thanks, and you're Leanne, you're seconding?
Yes, really just off the back of what Una has said, there's a clear need for an Irish passport office in the north to meet the rising demand for the Irish passport services. Like Una had said, our offices and elected reps have been inundated over the recent months with people seeking help due to the backlogs. There's been a huge rise in the number of people holding Irish passports. It's a clear indication of the need for the office in the north. The 2021 census figures revealed a staggering 63% rise in the number of people who have become Irish passport holders over the last 10 years. It's time for the Irish government to accept that investing in a passport office in the north to assist with the huge number of applicants who live here is common sense and we ask that the council write to the Minister for Foreign Affairs to highlight the importance of this office, not only to help applicants, but also take the pressure off staff to help meet the rising demand of these services. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much. And just before I make my contribution, I'd like to place on public record my heartfelt appreciation to the passport, to the staff at work in the passport offices in Balbriggan, Dublin and Cork, who have been courteous and efficient and who have gone the extra mile to help. So I'd like to place on record our appreciation to the staff at the passport service for all their help. I'd like to thank the proposer, Councillor Hanlon, for bringing forward this motion calling for the establishment of a passport office based in Northern Ireland. You know, the Good Friday Belfast Agreement and even legislation going back years highlighted and recognised that people here were entitled to hold both passports of Irish and British. You know, I feel that a passport office based in Northern Ireland would help, would deal with the increasing numbers of applicants. And as elected representatives being lobbied, you know, by concerned constituents about the late arrival of passports, applied for in good time, and even in the case of a youngster crying because their daddy didn't get their passport in time, so mummy and the child had to go to Disney World because daddy didn't get his passport, and it ruined the holiday for them and a lot of other people as well. You know, COVID-19 and the backlog didn't help matters either. You know, the current demand for Irish passports in Northern Ireland places significant demands on the post offices who are currently administering the application process. And I believe that the establishment of such an office here in Northern Ireland would create jobs and require less travelling for those who require emergency and urgent passports, which must be collected in person. I know that the SDLP have been campaigning for Irish passport offices to be established for a number of years, but since 2016 and 2017, we've all witnessed and the statistics have shown that more Irish passports are being issued here in Northern Ireland, and all trends show the demand has been growing year by year. But in finishing up, I do think that this would help in a big way. It would help constituents and residents who are having issues with the passport application process and have experienced delays in receiving their passport, and a dedicated passport office would help to alleviate these issues. So on behalf of the SDLP group, and we will be supporting the motion in principle. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Henry Reddy.
Well, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I understand the emotional attachment that Councillor O'Hanlon would have with the Irish Republic and Irish passports, but there's absolutely no need for a full-time office in Northern Ireland. There's no office in Donegal. There's no office in the north of the Republic. There's no office in the west of the Republic. And the Irish government, whenever the EU put the clamps on them and they had to cut back in public spending, they actually really reduced the number of staff they had, and they put all their passport applications online. Look, I know probably dozens and dozens of people from the unionist community who are orange men and hard-line loyalists who have got Irish passports just for whatever reason. The lorry drivers and boys that got are doing continental runs, they all get them just for the convenience of it.
Maybe they're just soften a wee bit, Henrietta.
Sorry?
Maybe they're soften a bit,
The point I'm making, Chairman, is you've got full access to it. There's the express one for Northern Ireland that already exists. And I have had people come to me who were in the same situation that Terry mentions about couldn't get their passport, Irish passport. And I did try to get through to Dublin and to try and expedite, and they just say, look, it's because of working from home and COVID. And they say exactly the same excuse that the UK passport office is using. Exactly the same excuse. You'd think they were nearly working together. But for that reason, Chairman, I think it's a bit silly to be expecting the Irish government to go through all that additional expenditure to open an office up here when they don't even have one to cater for Irish Republican citizens in Donegal or the West. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. We don't support the motion presented tonight, Chair. And listen, there are quite a number of people that do apply for Irish passports, but I don't think the demand that exists actually requires an office, as Henry has outlined. I think if staffing provision was more than catered for in the offices in the Republic of Ireland. And indeed, there are issues, and I was reading this in recent times, where even some of the reasons for delays in Irish passport applications, for instance, are as a result of forms not being completed. And that has a, you know, correctly, and that has obviously an overall impact on the process as well. But certainly, I think, if we're being honest, the demand for an Irish passport is more about political significance than it is about handiness or, you know, a way of assisting people who decide to apply for an Irish passport in Northern Ireland. I think that's more what drives people in terms of demanding this office than it is actually out of necessity, and that's probably the key point to this. But I just don't see the demand. I think it would be additional costs that the Irish government don't want to incur either. If they really had a desire to do it, I think they would have done it by now. But listen, it's a decision for them, obviously. But, and there are constitutional issues at play as well with the matter like this. So we don't support the motion presented tonight.
Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair.
Is that right?
Yeah,
apologies.
Still working it out. Content enough to support this motion.
Bit of order, please, folks. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you.
Bit of order, please.
I enjoy the crack and the banter, but I mean, if we just let me speak, like, it would be sort of half civil, like, you know what I mean? But anyway, can I support the motion for an Irish passport office, the Department of Foreign Affairs in Northern Ireland? That's fine. Again, listening to some comments, I think there is a passport office in the west of Ireland. It's located in Galway, as far as I can tell. I suppose, again, it would also, I don't think a political endorsement to have said passport, as I think Councillor O'Reilly alluded to, but it certainly is, it's a result of a political decision that's been made. Again, quoting the most recent Northern Ireland census, this is consistent with the increasing demand for Irish passports since the UK voted to leave the European Union in 2016. So again, like, some decisions have had ramifications across the board. Content enough to support. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I have to agree with my unionist colleague speaking there earlier. If I was a stranger to this council and listening to some speaking referring to the north, and you went down council referring to the north, would say there's a problem in Ballymena or Limavady or somewhere, but I don't think that's the case. I have to admit that what I see, if you go to the Irish Passport and check out their website, they will say within 20 days you can get an online application for first-time applicants, and they could even do paper-based proposals in 8 weeks. If you go to UK office, it's 10 weeks. So I don't see there's much of an issue there. And in an Irish Passport's own words is there's more people than ever before are eager to travel abroad following 2 years of COVID restrictions. And that's why there maybe is a bit more delay or tailback, whatever. But I certainly don't agree with this proposal. Thank you.
Councillor Maggot here.
I didn't think it was that quick. Yeah, Chair, I just think it's a bit, well, given the motion, it makes much common sense. And in fact, if you look at the census statistics, where we see a 63.5% increase in Irish passport applications and a decline in UK passport applications, one would think nearly the easy thing to do would be for the Irish passport office to move into the UK passport office in Belfast. I don't think that'll happen. But I do think it's grossly unfair, short-sighted, for some of these people in here to ask the people of North Antrim and even our neighbours in North Down and other areas of the six counties to travel for emergency passports to Dublin, when you can have one just in your back door in Belfast or even here in Uri. So I've been fully supporting common sense approach as usual to passport applications and any other services that we can offer. Good job.
Councillor Maggot. Bit of order, folks, please. Councillor Hannan, you want to make a comment or are you going to wind?
Yeah, I can sum up as well. Yeah. I just think some of the comments have been really contradictory from Councillor Riley and Councillor McKee. I think we went round the four corners of the island there, but we missed out the part that we're actually asking for the office in. I think, you know, the contradiction comes where you admitted yourself, Councillor Riley, there's more and more people applying from a very, very diverse background. And it shouldn't really be about the geography, it should be about the demand for the service. You mentioned yourself that when you ring Dublin, you can't get through, and that's no fault of the staff. And I acknowledge Councillor Andrew's comments that the staff do sterling work, but they just need more resources. And I think as well, Councillor McKee, you're on obviously the Irish Passport website, where it states you can get an application within 20 days. I would stand over the fact that you can't. That is absolute nonsense. It's gone up nearly, at some cases, I was dealing with applicants who had applied at Christmas last year and in June still didn't have it. And as Councillor Andrews referred, there were families who were making a decision, do we lose the money for our holiday or we would split the family up and go on ahead with whoever didn't get the passport. So that's the type of issues we're dealing with. So I just wanted to make that point before there's any agreement or disagreement within the chamber.
Okay. Bit of order, folks. I know we're coming towards the end of the meeting, but we can take the joviality outside. We'll try and get the business done. There appears to be division in the chamber, so we will take a vote on this and we'll do it by roll call. Sarah?
Yeah. Councillor Andrew? Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burgess? Yeah. Councillor Burnham, in case you're absent. Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Curtin?
For.
Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright? It's gone. Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gallagher?
For.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
Yes.
Councillor Hart is absent. Councillor Harrell?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McKee?
Against.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor Mulgrew is absent. Councillor Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Murray?
For.
Councillor Owen?
Against.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Shargan?
For.
Councillor Stokes?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
And Councillor Traynor is gone. So 26 for and 7 against.
Okay. Motion carried. Okay, folks, thank you very much. Safe home.
Thank you, Chair.